Remember that last time we talked about why now we can begin to apprehend what in Christ means. We've apprehended, or we've gotten a pretty good handle on what Christ in us means. But in Christ, we stand with the same character from God's standpoint as he does. We stand as Christ before the Father. And whatever he enjoys, we enjoy. And that, you know, in a nutshell, is the meaning of the peace offering. Let's go to 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also might have fellowship with us. Now the word fellowship is the one we're going to concentrate on tonight. The word fellowship is the word koinonia in the Greek. But it's also the word for communion. And it's also the spiritual meaning of the peace offering. It's impossible to have fellowship with God without the apprehension of the peace offering, and it's impossible to have fellowship with another person without the common apprehension of the peace offering. Everything else you do vis-a-vis brethren is something other than fellowship. And that's what we're going to try to see tonight. Understand? How many ways have you tried to have fellowship over the years? How many things have you tried to base your fellowship on over the years? Not just since you've been a believer, because that's really what you've tried to do from the beginning. You've tried to have another person that you can truly share something with. And you've never done it. You've never yet been able to truly share with anyone. You try to get married, and then married, and then married. And you don't find anything. There's no common ground. There's no sharing. You try to have boyfriends or girlfriends over and over and over again. You find that everything that you think will be sharing is not. Or it only lasts for a little while. Or it only satisfies for a moment. In here, you've tried to have fellowship on every other basis except the peace offering thus far. I think back and I remember fist fights. I remember walking out. I remember things, but, you know, fundamentally, something has kept us, and what kept us was the hope of fellowship. Yeah. That's all. But it's not a religious thing. You've got to get that in your mind. The peace offering finally and once and for all totally destroys religion from your life if it's apprehended properly. Because when you find out that you've tried everything that you've ever tried to do vis-a-vis another person in terms of having friendship or a lover or a husband or a wife or a friend, you've tried to do it on a basis that the compulsion to do that, the compulsion to have a friend or a lover or a husband or a wife is a longing to have the peace offering. That's what you were created for. And it's never worked. Still hasn't worked. Okay? Can you understand that a little bit?
Hi, Wade.
Okay. But now comes this incredible statement in 1 John. He says, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, or by His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, I want to talk emotion at the emotional level in a minute. Aren't you tired of trying to have a relationship with somebody? With a husband or a wife? Or for the Levites, aren't you tired of trying to have a relationship with me? Or for the Bible study teachers, aren't you tired of trying to have a relationship with the people in your Bible studies, or trying to get them to have a real relationship with you? There's always something missing. There's always something less than that which you can conceive of. And so therefore, what enters the equation then? What enters the equation is you try to share something of the flesh in order to try to have fellowship. And if you're a Bible study teacher, that's death. Because you begin the process, you feel that there is no fellowship, you feel that there is no communication. And so all of a sudden then, you get a feeling of angst within you, and you begin to try to share something other than fire. And the only thing you can share is that worm-eaten, corrupted manna of the mind. And pretty soon, I'm not trying to pick on anybody with this phrase, but pretty soon you end up being perceived as babbling. The reason is that you haven't apprehended the peace offering. And I'm not picking on anyone, because everybody babbles. Now, one of the things that it causes me to cry inside is what I see as fellowship in the name of Christ among us, and especially among the outside world when they do something in the name of God. They're trying to share in the name of God, but all they are able to share is what they have apprehended. And the only thing they've apprehended, for the most part, is some aspect that some part of your sin is covered. But your past sin is covered, but your present sin isn't. Or whatever. You understand? There's something so totally lacking that it makes my heart cry when I hear what people are saying in the name of God. And what they're trying to do is have communion. They're trying to have fellowship, or have communion. But it's lacking. Something is wrong. Something is missing. Let's go to Matthew 14. We're going to come back to John. Or 1 John. Now, I want you to notice something in Matthew. Chapter 14 is about the beheading of John the Baptist. He gets the first part of it, the first 14 verses. About John the Baptist, and he gets his head cut off. The next thing that Jesus does when he hears of John the Baptist being beheaded or dead. In verse 13 it says, when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. Now, you got to hear what's going on in the Spirit. The people had been following John the Baptist because he was proclaiming to them, make a pathway straight in the desert. He was proclaiming something about to happen. He was telling them about the need for total repentance, the baptism of repentance, that they could no longer trust in their own, that the axe must be laid to the root of the tree. Capisce? Jesus, hearing of his death, takes off. He goes and hides, because he in the flesh knows what's about to happen. Because once John the Baptist has finished his course, or his head is cut off, then the only one that can minister and the only one that can proclaim anything is the Christ himself. Now that's what it's talked about in the, you know, when it talks about, and he gave unto us the apostle, the fivefold ministry, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, etc., etc. Well, this is what's beginning to happen now. And its relationship to the peace offering is at this junction. It's when Christ, the cosmic Christ, if you can permit that phrase, is searched out because the John the Baptist or the Elijah has spoken and the people have heard. There's nothing else that can happen now. There's nothing else that can satisfy except Jesus the Christ. Got it?
Amen.
All right. For some of you, you have got to begin to see that John the Baptist has done his work. Okay, now watch. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place, and when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. They rushed towards him. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. All right. He healed. I mean, what kind of thing is that to say? Well, let's see. Verse 15. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place. The time is now past," and it was getting dark. "Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals," food. But Jesus said unto them, "Take, they need not depart, give ye them to eat." And they say unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, "Bring them here to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides the women and children. So the first thing that happens when John the Baptist is beheaded, the first thing that Christ does is he feeds them the peace offering. It's the last thing done of that day. At the temple, as he was feeding them, it was just about sunset, and they were doing the peace offering in the temple as Christ was feeding the 5,000. Now, notice that Christ could not feed the 5,000 except through the disciples. The disciples had to give everything they had in order for the mystery of Christ and the peace offering to be manifested to the disciples. It had to happen after the preaching of John the Baptist, after John the Baptist has run his course, the Elijah ministry is completed, John the Baptist is beheaded, the people are hungry, they must be fed, multitudes come. No food. The disciples, you gotta be here now. This narrative is shortened. You gotta hear what's going on with these disciples.
Wow, yeah. There's enough food for the disciples.
5 loaves and 2 fishes. could have kept the disciples from, and Jesus, from fainting with hunger. Send these guys away so we can get something to eat here. They need not depart. Give you them to eat. He's really gone off the deep end this time.
He's doing it again.
He's asking us to bring to him all that we have. Bring them hither to me. So that the disciples have risked everything down to the very fact of whether or not they have anything to eat before they then apprehend the peace offering. The meaning of this, I believe, the meaning of this wasn't anything to do with the 5,000. What he did here was he taught the disciples the meaning of the peace offering. The meaning of communion. The meaning of fellowship. The meaning of the mind of Christ. You see it? You understand? What does this mean to you? I don't want us to just hear this stuff and it becomes an intellectual curiosity that tingles your something or other. What does it mean? What does it mean to you? How are you hearing it?
Whenever you were saying that feeling about once again being called and set apart for something so different than maybe anybody else in the world.
The only way for us,
it may not cost everybody like it cost us, but for us it would be, it's everything to be a part of it.
You know that we said a lot last night about forgiveness and sanctification and what we're sanctified in the law, set apart. You're only sanctified for one thing. And there's no example in the law of the possibility of being sanctified for anything else. You're sanctified for death. I write unto you that know the law. If the word sanctified is used in your, or present is used in your vocabulary, you are sanctified or set aside for death. That's all that the law ever sanctified anyone for or anything for. Understand that? Never forget that. Are you okay, Pam?
Yeah.
All right. So you see what's going on here. Now, in the spirit, we as a body are right here. We're just at the beginning. We're just getting ready to barely, possibly, hopefully, maybe understand the peace offering. We've had nothing to feed anyone with. I was running around being John the Baptist, saying, you dumb butts, you know, you dumb shits, you haven't, you know, there's vanity, there's nothing in the world. But we couldn't feed anyone until we apprehended and had something to feed them with. Now, many of you have been here for a long time. Many of you have been here for a long time starving. Capisce? Now you can both eat and be fully fed and be fully satisfied and be strengthened and have more than enough to feed whatever need presents itself to you.
Yeah, you know, I missed that just now. We read that the disciples had 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish or whatever it was, and then these 5,000 people got fed, and after the 5,000 people were fed, the disciples had 12 baskets of food.
Right.
More than they started with.
Much more.
The part that was hitting me about it was that it didn't have anything to do with the disciples at all. I mean, what their talents or not talents or...
Okay.
Who would hit us that way?
They would necessarily hit us that way.
Yeah, better hit us.
1 John. Back to 1 John. Are you getting a little excited about the peace offering? It's pretty neat stuff. Doing a little track?
It's a pretty frustrating feeling.
Do you have a track?
Huh?
You want to give him a track?
Yeah, peace offering track.
Peace.
I don't apprehend this. Eat
this. Yeah.
We'll scroll the thing and
be warm and eat this.
We're going to eat that. Okay. We're going to do that in a minute. Don't get too far ahead. Oh, it's interesting, though, that we're studying in Bananas. We're studying the Holy Spirit. But and in Ezekiel, the Holy Spirit, the picture, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is Ezekiel 1, where the first thing that happens is he sees the helicopter, according to Al Lindsay's. He sees all these helicopters. Huh? Yeah, and then he tells them to eat the scroll. So again, there's eating going on. It has to be the peace offering. And there's a helicopter going over the head. Wow, dropping.
There's a helicopter going on. It has to be.
Come on, you have to go to Vietnam.
Yeah.
All right. That which we have seen, again, in order to be able to, what did he say?
Sea red. That's the tie-in. It pulls it all together.
Oh, wait, you can't hit Robert.
Yeah. Yeah.
Steve, say something stupid so it doesn't.
Okay. Listen again. Now I'm going to read what I just read in 1 John over again, because you have to see that it's that which was from the beginning, which you have heard, which you have seen with your spiritual eyes, which you have looked upon, and your hands have handled of the word of life. Otherwise, we can't go on. And you have tasted. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you may have fellowship, koinonia, communion, that you may eat with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his, or by his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. The one thing you will always find out about the peace offering is that it is always connected with joy, and it is always voluntary. You remember that? No matter what, it has to be an offering of thanksgiving from the depths of the heart. It has to be voluntary, completely voluntary. That's why when he said there are 7,000 men that have not bowed to Baal, and spiritually what he was saying is there are 7,000 that are still apprehending and making the peace offering. It doesn't matter what the external conditions are. Doesn't matter what your physical conditions are. Nothing matters. If you apprehend the peace offering, from that moment forward, complaining is impossible. All right. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now the other thing that we'll find out about the peace offering is that it's eaten at one place only. Essentially, the peace offering is eaten at the altar in the fire of God. So we got fire, light, joy, communion, eating, sharing, apprehending, all these things connected with a peace offering. All right. Now, communion is one of the commonest things in Christianity. Everybody thinks they have communion. They call it, you know, they have those little Sunday suppers, and they call it our communion supper, and then they call the sacrament in the Catholic Church is communion. And the Protestant churches in the Catholic churches, they do the communion every week. Most of the Protestant churches, they only do the communion on the first Sunday of the month. But Wednesday is the communion or fellowship meal or fellowship hall. Really is just communion hall. It's Koinonia hall. We have fellowship. We sit around and talk about Jesus. We have fellowship. You see slideshows. We have fellowship. But pretty soon they find out they really don't have anything to feed anybody. So what they have to do instead is they have to have teaching on how to get more false disciples to justify their false faith. So that you will find out in the arenas where the least knowledge of this is will be the ones that are most evangelical. Serious. Because they have to justify their unbelief, and they do it by having many converts. What?
You have to fill up the time and space with something.
Now, and the other churches that really don't believe in the resurrection, those that have been, they don't really have communion, they have the leaven, they eat the leaven of the Sadducees. What has happened is they fill up the time, or they fill up the lack of sharing, or the lack of communion, with what? With psychological bullshit. And they separate the groups into ages and common idolatries. So they have a single group where all the people are looking for one thing, and they have an old folks group, and they have a young folks group, and they have all these little groups that are based on common idolatry, and they hear about psychological bullshit. Read the programs of the Methodists or the Episcopals or the
Temple.
Or Temple Emmanuel or the Presbyterians. It's full of psychology because they're trying to feed, have something to eat. But it's the wrong thing.
I remember that Sunday school class I went to at the Methodist church where this lady was trying to teach a lesson about individuation and, you know, drawing it on the life of Jacob.
Anyway. But if we truly believe, we must, and if we begin to confess, as I told you last time, the word, I haven't counted, I was going to do that, and I forgot to. I can't remember how many, but the word confess is used extremely many times in the Bible.
Pretty much.
The hard shell Baptists fill up their time with bad grammar.
Yeah. And the Pharisees correct it.
You just see what you're doing in the spirit,
John. Pretty much.
Pretty much.
In the spirit, you're painting a fence.
But again, the word confess is used almost exclusively. Very rarely is it ever used the way we use it, i.e. confession of sin or confession of mistakes or confession of faults. Most of the time confession is used, it's meaning that you speak the same thing that God speaks. We must speak the same thing, we must think the same thing in order to have the mind of Christ. Yeah? Now, think about the joy that God finds in the peace offering. If we accept as the predicate of this that God created time and space in order that he might have true fellowship, then think of the joy he has in the peace offering. It's the reason everything exists. That he might have someone to share with at his table. Now, when you can begin to muse or dwell or meditate on that, you'll begin to see and hear and know what is the mind of Christ and what is the mind of the Father. Now, in Christ, it puts us in that position of sharing with the Father and with each other the highest possible joy. But only when we have forgotten ourselves and can think on the wonder and majesty of the offering of Christ. Think about for a minute what your comprehension of Christ is. For some of you, you know that you have been delivered from wrath because you know your sin is forgiven. For some of you, you just sort of hope your sin is forgiven and you maybe might be delivered from wrath. For some of you, you really begin to apprehend forgiveness. For some of you, you can begin to, apprehend grace a little bit. But if you are in Christ, then you are standing. Everything that you think about vis-a-vis Christ is your limitation of yourself and him. For instance, if you think about Christ, do you think that he's delivered from wrath only? Or is his sin forgiven only? What is him? What is his position? Any casual view of Christ sees that he is the only begotten. He is the beloved of the Father. He is sitting on the right hand of God. In him the fullness of God dwells. In him the fullness of joy dwells. And you are in him. So your comprehension of Jesus Christ, based on your psychological condition, is an affront to God. Unless your comprehension of Christ is God's comprehension of Christ. What we must do in the peace offering is see what Christ enjoys. And whatever he enjoys is what we must and can enjoy. Now, where are you limited? Am I communicating at all? Where are you limiting yourself? There is nothing. Are you limiting yourself because of your intelligence? Who cares? You are sufficiently intelligent to apprehend the perfection of Christ. then stand in him and see that his is yours. The only reason that you could possibly think that you are limited intelligence is because you are comparing yourself in darkness. You understand? Are you limited in time? Well, I have so much to do. Well, then you're not viewing or apprehending Christ. Christ isn't limited by anything because he is all time. Are you limited in the area of, well, I can't stop judging other people? That's my problem. Well, do you think Christ is judging? He came not to judge. Can you get a little hook into this? Where have you limited yourself? Do you think of yourself as some poor, inconsequential person struggling to make it in this world? That's kind of dumb. Christ doesn't think of himself that way, and you're in Christ. This is the only thing that can sustain you. You have been eating the wrong food. Every bit and everything and every definition and view you have of yourself came from the food you eat. What?
I was so manipulated in that last one. That which is your sustenance. That which you see as your sustenance
is what sustains you.
It's what limits you. It's what you see.
Are you worried about just being accepted? Some of you still are at that place. You know, whether, and it doesn't matter if it's accepted by God or accepted by one other person. If you have any comprehension with regard to being worried about acceptance, put yourself in Christ. Is Christ worried about being accepted by anyone? Is Christ only, see, is his position only one that's been delivered from wrath? Is his position only one that has the component of forgiveness? Is his position only one that says, oh God, I made it through this day? Is his position one, if you're a teacher, that says, well, I don't think I can teach this. I don't understand it. Where are you limiting him? You got to see this. You are a hunk of protoplasm with chemical and electrochemical circuits running around in there that have their circuits defined by the God of this world. And they've been defined by what you've sustained, what has sustained you. And they're all a lie. Your view of yourself has to be abolished in order that you can apprehend and partake of Christ's view of himself in you. Otherwise, you'll never understand what I talk about. As long as you have a view of yourself, you can't possibly know what it's finished means. As long as you have a view of yourself, you can't possibly understand or apprehend the joy. Now you can go get all mad at yourself and feel bad because you have a view of yourself. I can give you something else to be mad about. I can give you so much to be mad about you can't even believe it. I can give you so much to be disappointed about you won't even have room for it in your inn. You're stupid compared to everybody else. You're stupid. You know, compare, oh, I'm worried about my, Oh, I'm not bright enough. Well, take, compare, you know, you're not bright enough at all. Compare yourself to Einstein and then quit worrying about it. Oh, I just don't. I mean, I don't think I'm getting it to you. Can't you see that the apprehension of the peace offering means that you have lost sight of yourself? That there is no more room for a view of yourself and that thing that has sustained you in sickness. Do you understand how sick you are? Because you have been eating that which is sick. And then you come. Can you imagine a state of being in which the constant was revelation? And you would, it's not that every once in a while you saw something and you'd be happy and go run tell somebody. What would happen is if you didn't see something, you would be, you'd become all angry. You'd be worried. You'd know that something was wrong. There's a state of being exactly opposite from the one that you've enjoyed thus far. The reason that you have enjoyed the state of being that you have enjoyed thus far is because that's what you've been eating.
Yeah.
You are what you eat. You have been eating that which gave you the view of yourself and that which has sustained that view, that which has given you the smallest limited measure of pleasure, that which has given you the smallest measure of strength, is what you've been eating. It's the wrong food. It's the dumb stuff. It's the dumb guy food. Do you want... It's a stupid guy food. It's a junk food. I don't know. I hope you understand me. In Christ, the prepositional phrase is used over 200 times in the New Testament. Every time in Christ is used, it means that you have everything that He has because you are in Him. When God looks at you, He sees Christ. When God looks at Christ, He sees you. To speak the same thing as God means to see that. Let John the Baptist be beheaded so that you can now eat the mystery food. What?
Does that mean let John be beheaded?
Well,
see that he's finished.
The ministry of Elijah.
The announcement's
been made in you. Now let us go on to perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, of faith toward God, of baptisms, etc., etc., etc. Now taste and see that the Lord is good. Now you can begin to understand with certainty Hebrews 6 instead of being afraid of it. Everybody go read. What's Hebrews 6? As long as John the Baptist is preaching in your ear, you can't apprehend the peace offering. But if John the Baptist has been beheaded in you, then everything will be the peace offering. I think I've given you enough to talk about or think about. But talk to me. I hate bumps on logs.
Just hit me what you just said, though. If John is still preaching in your head, what hit me was it sounds like that's another perfect opportunity for some kind of bullshit delay mechanism.
Well, if you can say, if you can speak these words, that all is vanity, then John the Baptist has finished speaking in you. And everything else that you're hearing is a lie. You got to remember, all that your thoughts are, there's a bunch of little neurons running around in there that have no meaning. They're just a bunch of chemical stuff. And if you have, you know, if I give you a bunch, if I gave you some anabolic steroid and you ate it and ingested it right now, your thoughts would be some wild, wild thing over here. If I gave you lithium, your thoughts would be way down here. I mean, you got to see your thoughts are dumb. They don't have any meaning. They are only a function. They have only one function, and that's bringing you to the point. Where they can be beheaded. Where the head of the serpent is bruised, overcome. The highest order of reason is that your sin is a scarlet. Okay, so what? But then don't go back and try to fix it. Don't go building that which you've destroyed. Don't go thinking that your life is something in something that you've already destroyed. How come Harry's so easy? I mean, I always want to use him as the example. Levites are getting brave these days, aren't they?
Some are, some aren't.
So fellowship is if you know this and confess it, and I know this and confess it, then we're having fellowship whether or not, no matter what.
No matter what.
It's just happening.
It's happening. And it will cause a revolution to go on in your mind without you doing a goddamn thing about it. That which he has appointed you to do, he will do. But stop trying to get better. Stop trying to fix it. Stop trying to get stuff. Stop building up the... Stop playing with tinker toys. Is there anyone in here that cannot confess that all is vanity, all is fruitless? If you can't confess that, whatever you don't think is fruitless, get the hell out of here and go do it. But once you can confess that all is vanity, then John the Baptist has done his work. Now, don't go building it. Don't go arguing with yourself about it. That's kind of stupid. You're arguing with a headless man.
Kind of a one-sided one. Kind of a one-sided.
You're only, you know. I mean, you gotta see it. Tell me a concern you have. That's a lie. Oh. But you don't understand, Ollie. Does anyone here think that... Is there anyone here that doesn't think I know them?
Oh, God.
You don't think
I know them? You know.
If you knew me, you knew I was going to raise my hand.
Think on these things. That's enough. I don't feel like talking anymore.
Good thing we're only doing this one night a week.
Right.
So it has sense.
Chewable.
But let that peace offering be the only thing that sustains you. Let that give the be the only thing that gives you an identity.
I'm starting to see things, you know, as we go through the weeds, seeing things where, yeah. Oh, you know, what is this thing I'm doing here? What is this thing I'm thinking, you know? It's just, you know, it is. It's maggot. It's false.
And you're, it's what you're eating. That's what it is. I mean, you're eating food. For most of you, you're eating food that's spoiled. And you know it's spoiled. And you're getting spiritual salmonella and botulism.
Maggots.
But the fact is, you're gaining sustenance from that which you know is spoiled. And so it's and that's what people do when they starve. They eat anything.
Start eating each other.
Because, you know, the need for life. So that this thing about strength and sustenance and satisfaction is a great one. And I feel satisfied. I am satisfied. I mean, nothing's going right by any definition of any man. But there is, I mean, satisfaction is neat. It's the rarest thing in the universe.
This
doesn't cost us anything.
This other stuff isn't really sustenance. You said a minute ago, you're eating all this other stuff, getting sustenance from it, but it's a different...
Yeah, well, it's a sustenance that's causing you to be malnourished. You have the appearance of sustenance, but actually you're a walking dead man. Yeah. I mean, the idea of gaining sustenance from some idea you have in the future.
You got the wrong idea, though.
You got rice patties of the spirit.
Well, the thing is, the idea that I can have no modifiers. I am tired. I am irresponsible. I am.
Yeah.
It's just.
But you've gotten these. You've gotten these. Coverings, and even if they're negative, they're better than no covering. Because you can't stand the idea that all of that thing that you are is just a manipulated entity that has no meaning. So you grab onto the these things that say I am this or I am that, because it's better to be something bad than a nothing. Well, you're a nothing. Face it. Accept it. You're only a vessel, and it's contained a false deity up to this point. There's nothing to defend in that false deity. There's nothing worth defending. There's no... Well... You know, I mean, everything. All we have to do is look around. We can see the spiritual condition. I mean, it is malnourished. It is... You know, the Twinkies.
What's weird, I was reading the thing about, you know, alcoholics and people who, street people, who drink, and then when they eat real food, they throw it up.
Yeah.
You know, something else, you know, like...
Well, it's like what happens...
Body turns around.
What happens when I, you know, when I drank a lot, I felt better than I do now. I probably, if I drank now, I'd probably feel better. I mean, not drunk feel better, but I would feel better on a sustained basis. Until, you know, you get a little older. And then all the feel betters, you've been buying it from the future. I've asked Doug to find something for me. There's the theory of, I know that Harry has, but how many else here have heard the theory of the 100th monkey? Have you ever heard of it?
It's like the theory of 72 or whatever it was.
No.
The 100th
monkey. Well, what it is, and it's extremely important to what we're about. And the question is, who's the 100th monkey? There's a theory in sociology that's been proven by experiment after experiment after experiment that in a population... At some point, when if one person has this idea or thing or whatever or fashion, it's meaningless. At two and three, but at some point, and they theorize it's the 100th monkey. When the 100th monkey does it, or has that as the opinion, then all of a sudden everybody has it. It's a mystical kind of
Horizon. Is it like?
Now, I think that the 100th monkey in the truth and the spirit is 120th monkey. Because I think that once a community has been established, that then that which we have, we will find that which we have seen as up, as the 99th, for the 99th person, the things that we accept as standard are really wild out in the world. But at some point, the 100th monkey principle enters into us. And all of a sudden, there is a certain, it's a time. It's like the appointed time and the appointed action. Well, I feel like we're approaching the 100th monkey. And when that happens, then things explode like a son of a bitch. 5,000 are at your doorstep wanting to be fed. Now, you must be able to feed them the bread of life, the peace offering, not the manna of the mind or your opinions or the Anlandering. And you'll see spiritually what happens. If you have, if in here, if I am not feeding you, what happens is all of a sudden, every one of you exert yourself out of fear. You become that which is the lowest part of you, or in the spirit, the highest, because it's the high place. You manifest the high place activity and the high place dance. Because if you're not being fed, then in the spirit you're not being covered, because part of the responsibility of a covering is feeding. You understand? So if I'm weirded out, and it can happen instantly.
Or if we're gone for a while.
Or if you're gone for a while. You starve and you revert to the feeding. You feed off the high place. It happens automatically. It's not a... You automatically revert back to the first monkey. You understand? And that's why the system that we're about, you can't succeed alone. I can't succeed alone. We had a perfect example of that this weekend at the ranch. I got so tired. I mean, it was just... And Rick caught the brunt of it. I mean, it was just terrible for Rick. It was pretty bad for the rest of them on bananas, too. But I was just... It was like everything in me, I had nothing left to give. Everything in me was eaten away. And I just raised holy hell with everybody. I mean, I pouted for a while, like I usually do, and then I went and raised holy hell the next morning. But I got back here, and I read, The Unprofitable Servant. My God, I've just done only what is necessary, but I'm still the unprofitable. I mean, I haven't done anything. I mean, but my point to them was last night, I pray that they would have been able to exhort me by, if they, Harry said, I read that thing and, about the that I've only done that which is necessary. And I said, now why didn't you tell me that instead of letting me go on into this bullshit? And Harry said, I didn't know it was in the Bible. Well,
I heard they just catch you a wide berth.
Well, they did that. That's for sure. But the point is, I was uncovered. I left the body uncovered, and it was because there was no exhortation. But it was like I believed the lie for a minute that I had an independent life. But the more we come into the understanding of the peace offering, the more you will see the need for each other.
Thinking about what's going on, that show I saw last night, the drug thing, whenever I see something that's like this pervasive, I know that I mean, it's always a type of something. And what we're talking about tonight, it's like we can't, we're like the same thing of, in the spirit, you know, this drug, and they would say things like that. You can never go back to using this drug. You're going to die. It's the same thing. We can never go back to using self, and we're going to die.
Yeah.
I mean, we have relapses and
that's good.
Just like this, but it, you know, it kills you. I mean, it just flat for us. I mean, it's as real to us to get caught up in that as it is to any one of these other people, and just as devastating.
Okay.
This thing you were saying about approaching the 100th monkey, there is a large group of people out there that are ready to hear the cross.
Well, anyway, I've asked Doug to do a project to find all he can about the theory of the 100th monkey. That's the only thing Doug likes to do. Weird shit like that.
Research.
Okay?
Yeah.
Take it, big guy. But think on these things. Don't eat anything else except the peace offering.